Chapter 32. Told him. Then he asked me what trade I was. Trade? Apostrophe says I am a thief, a rogue, by my calling. I am a pirate and a murderer, and ought to be hanged. Apostrophe a, apostrophe says the devil, so you do, and you are the man I looked for, and therefore come along with me. Apostrophe at which I was most horribly frighted, and cried out, so that it waked me, and I have been in horrible agony ever since. Very well, says William, come, give me the pistol thou talkedst of just now. Why, says I, what will you do with it? Do with it, says William. Why, thou needest not shoot thyself, I shall be obliged to do it for thee. Why, thou wilt destroy us all. What do you mean, William? Said one. Mean, said he, nay, what didst thou mean, to cry out aloud in thy sleep, I am a thief, a pirate, a murderer, and ought to be hanged? Why, thou wilt ruin us all. 'Twas well the Dutchman did not understand English. In short, I must shoot thee, to save my own life. Come, come, says he, give me thy pistol. I confess this terrified me again another way, and I began to be sensible that, if anybody had been near me to understand English, I had been undone. The thought of shooting myself forsook me from that time, and I turned to William. You disorder me extremely, William, said I. Why, I am never safe, nor is it safe to keep me company. What shall I do? I shall betray you all. Come, come, friend Bob, says he, I'll put an end to it all, if you will take my advice. How's that? Said one. Why, only, says he, that the next time thou talkest with the devil, thou wilt talk a little softlier, or we shall be all undone, and you too. This frighted me, I must confess, and delayed a great deal of the trouble of mind I was in. But William, after he had done jesting with me, entered upon a very long and serious discourse with me about the nature of my circumstances, and about repentance, that it ought to be attended, indeed, with a deep abhorrence of the crime that I had to charge myself with, but that to despair of God's mercy was no part of repentance, but putting myself into the condition of the devil, indeed, that I must apply myself with a sincere, humble confession of my crime, to ask pardon of God, whom I had offended, and cast myself upon his mercy, resolving to be willing to make restitution, if ever it should please God, to put it in my power, even to the utmost of what I had in the world. And this, he told me, was the method which he had resolved upon himself. And in this, he told me, he had found comfort. I had a great deal of satisfaction in William's discourse, and it quieted me very much. But William was very anxious ever after about my talking in my sleep, and took care to lie with me always himself, and to keep me from lodging in any house where, so much as a word of English was understood. However, there was not the like occasion afterward. For I was much more composed in my mind, and resolved for the future, to live a quite different life from what I had done. As to the wealth I had, I looked upon it as nothing. I resolved to set it apart to any such opportunity of doing justice as God should put into my hand. And the miraculous opportunity I had afterwards of applying some parts of it to preserve a ruined family, whom I had plundered, may be worth reading, if I have room for it in this account. With these resolutions I began to be restored to some degree of quiet in my mind, and having, after almost 3 months' stay at Bassora, disposed of some goods, but having a great quantity left, we hired boats according to the Dutchman's direction, and went up to Baghdad, or Babylon, on the river Tigris, or rather Euphrates. We had a very considerable cargo of goods with us, and therefore made a great figure there, and were received with respect. We had, in particular, 42 bales of Indian stuffs of sundry sorts, silks, muslins, and fine chintz. We had 15 bales of very fine China silks, and 70 packs or bales of spices, particularly cloves and nutmegs, with other goods. We were bid money here for our clothes, but the Dutchman advised us not to part with them, and told us we should get a better price at Aleppo, or in the Levant, so we prepared for the caravan. We concealed our having any gold or pearls as much as we could, and therefore sold 3 or 4 bales of China silks and Indian calicoes, to raise money to buy camels, and to pay the customs which are taken at several places, and for our provisions over the deserts. I traveled this journey, careless to the last degree of my goods or wealth, believing that, as I came by it all by rapine and violence, God would direct that it should be taken from me again in the same manner, and, indeed, I think I might say I was very willing it should be so. But, as I had a merciful protector above me, so I had a most faithful steward, counselor, partner, or whatever I might call him, who was my guide, my pilot, my governor, my everything, and took care both of me, and of all we had. And though he had never been in any of these parts of the world, yet he took the care of all upon him. And in about 59 days we arrived from Bassorah, at the mouth of the river Tigris or Euphrates, through the desert, and through Aleppo to Alexandria, or, as we call it, Scandaroon, in the Levant. Here William and I, and the other two, our faithful comrades, debated what we should do. And here William and I resolved to separate from the other two, they resolving to go with the Dutchman into Holland, by the means of some Dutch ship which lay then in the road. William and I told them we resolved to go, and settle in the Morea, which then belonged to the Venetians. It is true we acted wisely in it, not to let them know whither we went, seeing we had resolved to separate. But we took our old doctor's directions, how to write to him in Holland, and in England, that we might have intelligence from him on occasion, and promised to give him an account, how to write to us, which we afterwards did, as may in time be made out. We stayed here some time, after they were gone, till at length, not being thoroughly resolved, whither to go till then, a Venetian ship touched at Cyprus, and put in at Scandaroon, to look for freight home. We took the hint, and bargaining for our passage, and the freight of our goods, we embarked for Venice, where, in 22 days, we arrived safe, with all our treasure, and with such a cargo, take our goods and our money and our jewels together, as, I believed, was never brought into the city by 2 single men, since the state of Venice had a being. We kept ourselves here incognito for a great while, passing for 2 Armenian merchants still, as we had done before, and by this time we had gotten so much of the Persian and Armenian jargon, which they talked at Bassorah and Baghdad, and everywhere that we came in the country, as was sufficient to make us able to talk to one another, so as not to be understood by anybody, though sometimes hardly by ourselves. Here we converted all our effects into money, settled our abode as for a considerable time, and William and I, maintaining an inviolable friendship and fidelity to one another, lived like 2 brothers. We neither had, or sought any separate interest. We conversed seriously and gravely, and upon the subject of our repentance continually. We never changed, that is to say, so as to leave off our Armenian garbs. And we were called, at Venice, the 2 Grecians. I had been 2 or 3 times going, to give a detail of our wealth, but it will appear incredible, and we had the greatest difficulty in the world how to conceal it, being justly apprehensive lest we might be assassinated in that country for our treasure. At length William told me he began to think now that he must never see England any more, and that indeed he did not much concern himself about it. But seeing we had gained so great wealth, and he had some poor relations in England, if I was willing, he would write to know if they were living, and to know what condition they were in, and if he found such of them were alive as he had some thoughts about, he would, with my consent, send them something to better their condition. I consented most willingly. And accordingly William wrote to a sister and an uncle, and in about 5 weeks' time received an answer from them both, directed to himself, under cover of a hard Armenian name, that he had given himself, viz. Signor Constantine, election of Ispahan, at Venice. It was a very moving letter he received from his sister, who, after the most passionate expressions of joy, to hear he was alive, seeing she had long ago had an account that he was murdered by the pirates in the West Indies, entreats him to let her know what circumstances he was in, tells him she was not in any capacity to do anything considerable for him, but that he should be welcome to her with all her heart, that she was left a widow with four children, but kept a little shop in the Minories, by which she made shift to maintain her family, and that she had sent him £5, lest he should want money in a strange country, to bring him home. I could see the letter brought tears out of his eyes as he read it, and, indeed, when he showed it to me, and the little bill for £5, upon an English merchant in Venice, it brought tears out of my eyes too. After we had been both affected sufficiently with the tenderness and kindness of this letter, he turns to me, says he, "What shall I do for this poor woman?" I mused a while. At last says I will tell you what you shall do for her. She has sent you £5, and she has four children, and herself, that is five. Such a sum, from a poor woman in her circumstances, is as much as £5,000 is to us. You shall send her a bill of exchange for £5,000 English money, and bid her conceal her surprise at it till she hears from you again, but bid her leave off her shop, and go and take a house somewhere in the country, not far off from London, and stay there, in a moderate figure, till she hears from you again. Now, says William, I perceive by it that you have some thoughts of venturing into England. Indeed, William, said I, you mistake me, but it presently occurred to me that you should venture, for what have you done, that you may not be seen there? Why should I desire to keep you from your relations, purely to keep me company? William looked very affectionately upon me. Nay, says he, we have embarked together so long, and come together so far, I am resolved I will never part with thee, as long as I live. Go where thou wilt, or stay where thou wilt. And as for my sister, said William, I cannot send her such a sum of money, for whose is all this money we have? It is most of it thine. No, William, said I, there is not a penny of it mine, but what is yours too, and I won't have anything but an equal share with you, and therefore you shall send it to her. If not, I will send it. Why, says William, it will make the poor woman distracted. She will be so surprised she will go out of her wits. Well, said I, William, you may do it prudently. Send her a bill backed of £100, and bid her expect more in a post or two, and that you will send her enough to live on without keeping shop, and then send her more. Accordingly, William sent her a very kind letter, with a bill upon the merchant in London for £160, and bid her comfort herself with the hope that he should be able in a little time to send her more. About 10 days after, he sent her another bill of £540, and a post or two after, another for £300, making in all £1,000. And told her he would send her sufficient to leave off her shop, and directed her to take a house as above. He waited then till he received an answer to all the three letters, with an account that she had received the money, and, which I did not expect, that she had not let any other acquaintance know that she had received a shilling from anybody, or so much as that he was alive, and would not till she had heard again. When he showed me this letter, "Well, William," said I, "this woman is fit to be trusted with life or anything. Send her the rest of the £5,000, and I'll venture to England with you, to this woman's house, whenever you will." In a word, we sent her £5,000 in good bills, and she received them very punctually, and in a little time sent her brother word that she had pretended to her uncle that she was sickly, and could not carry on the trade any longer, and that she had taken a large house about 4 miles from London, under pretense of letting lodgings for her livelihood. And, in short, intimated as if she understood that he intended to come over to be incognito, assuring him he should be as retired as he pleased. This was opening the very door for us that we thought had been effectually shut for this life. And, in a word, we resolved to venture, but to keep ourselves entirely concealed, both as to name and every other circumstance. And accordingly William sent his sister word how kindly he took her prudent steps, and that she had guessed right that he desired to be retired, and that he obliged her not to increase her figure, but live private, till she might perhaps see him. He was going to send the letter away. "Come, William," said I, "you shan't send her an empty letter. Tell her you have a friend coming with you that must be as retired as yourself, and I'll send her £5,000 more." So, in short, we made this poor woman's family rich. And yet, when it came to the point, my heart failed me, and I durst not venture. And for William, he would not stir without me. And so we stayed about 2 years after this, considering what we should do. You may think, perhaps, that I was very prodigal of my ill-gotten goods, thus to load a stranger with my bounty, and give a gift like a prince to one that had been able to merit nothing of me, or indeed know me. But my condition ought to be considered in this case. Though I had money to profusion, yet I was perfectly destitute of a friend in the world to have the least obligation or assistance from, or knew not either where to dispose, or trust anything I had while I lived, or whom to give it to if I died. When I had reflected upon the manner of my getting of it, I was sometimes for giving it all to charitable uses, as a debt due to mankind, though I was no Roman Catholic, and not at all of the opinion that it would purchase me any repose to my soul. But I thought, as it was got by a general plunder, and which I could make no satisfaction for, it was due to the community, and I ought to distribute it for the general good. But still I was at a loss how, and where, and by whom to settle this charity, not daring to go home to my own country, lest some of my comrades, strolled home, should see and detect me, and for the very spoil of my money, or the purchase of his own pardon, betray and expose me to an untimely end. Being thus destitute, I say, of a friend, I pitched thus upon William's sister, the kind step of hers to her brother, whom she thought to be in distress, signifying a generous mind and a charitable disposition. And having resolved to make her the object of my first bounty, I did not doubt, but I should purchase something of a refuge for myself, and a kind of a center, to which I should tend in my future actions. For really a man, that has a subsistence, and no residence, no place that has a magnetic influence upon his affections, is in one of the most odd uneasy conditions in the world, nor is it in the power of all his money to make it up to him. It was, as I told you, 2 years and upwards that we remained at Venice and thereabout, in the greatest hesitation imaginable, irresolute and unfixed to the last degree. William's sister importuned us daily to come to England, and wondered we should not dare to trust her, whom we had to such a degree obliged to be faithful, and in a manner lamented her being suspected by us. At last I began to incline, and I said to William, "Come, brother William," said I, for ever since our discourse at Bassorah I called him brother, "if you will agree to two or three things with me, I'll go home to England with all my heart." Says William, "Let me know what they are." "Why, first," says I, "you shall not disclose yourself to any of your relations in England, but your sister, no, not one. Secondly, we will not shave off our mustachios or beards, for we had all along worn our beards after the Grecian manner, nor leave off our long vests, that we may pass for Grecians and foreigners. Thirdly, that we shall never speak English in public before anybody, your sister excepted. Fourthly, that we will always live together, and pass for brothers." William said he would agree to them all with all his heart, but that the not speaking English would be the hardest, but he would do his best for Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.